to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. We've been studying the doctrine of assurance and the Spirit's work in assurance. And last week we dealt with what I consider to be fundamental truths. You can't have any real assurance of salvation if you have never repented and believed the gospel. That's foundational. Repentance and saving faith. And tonight we're going to look at another aspect of how we know that we're saved and why we know that we're saved. And again, it begins with the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent, the author of the new birth. He is the one that gives us spiritual life. The Bible says that in several places that we are born of God, that we are born of the Spirit, and He is the one who brings us out of a state of death into life, out of darkness into light. He is the one who has given us the gifts of repentance and faith, where we have a change of mind about ourselves, about our sin, about God, and about what we need, that moves us to trust in Jesus Christ and believe only in His finished work for salvation, in His death for our sins, in His burial, and in His resurrection. So how is it tonight that you and I can know for sure that we've been born of God, that we know God, that we have spiritual life in Him? Well, the Bible says that we can know that. 1 John 5 and verse 11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Again, that's where eternal life is. It's in Jesus Christ. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Make no mistake about it. Tonight, you're either saved or you're lost. There's only two kinds of people in this world. You have either come to an end of yourself and by the power of the Holy Spirit been made alive to see what you are and what you need, and you have turned from your old wicked ways and your sins, and you've embraced Jesus as your Lord, as your King, as your Savior, and the one who has saved you from your sins. You are either saved as a believer in Jesus Christ, or you are lost and undone, unholy, unrighteous, without hope, without God, in your sins, on the broad road that leads to destruction. There's only two conditions that men are in. You're either saved by grace or you're lost in your sins. That's why my mission in life as a preacher, as a gospel preacher, is to point men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, the only one that can take away the sin of the world. But how do you know that your faith is truly the faith of God's elect? "He that hath the Son hath life." That is a definite statement. If you know Jesus Christ, then your life's been changed miraculously. You know that you're saved. "He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." These things, the record that I gave you, the life that I have given you, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I think it's significant that he says, ye may know that ye have eternal life. That is a present possession. If you've believed, if you are in Christ, you have eternal life right now. And if it's eternal, if Jesus Christ gives you eternal life, then you can't lose it. It's an impossibility for you to take something that is eternal and infinite and make it finite and temporary. You would have to change the very nature of God, the very nature of Christ, because our eternal life is bound up in the eternal God, in Jesus Christ. The entire book of 1 John has a lot of verses dealing with this idea that ye may know that you have eternal life. And if you've truly been born again, there will be certain evidences of this in your life. You know the story of the ugly duckling. The ugly duckling learned his true identity when he saw his reflection. And so it is with the believer. You know you belong to God, belong to Christ, and you have greater assurance by seeing that you have those marks of regeneration that are laid out in the Scripture and produced in your heart. And you see from the promises of the Word of God, from the truth of the Word of God, from the truth that the Spirit bears witness in your heart with, that you are truly born of God. You see, turn over with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, or verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now that's one way that you know that you are adopted. One way that you know you are born of God is if you're led by the Spirit of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we may suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit as to the certainty of our sonship. And is not the witness of our spirit the personal awareness that we have the Holy, that the Holy Spirit has made us new creations, new creatures in Christ? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said that you'll know a man by his fruits, by what a tree produces. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17. Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. I believe this also shows you the two natures of a saved man. If you're a good tree, you've got a new nature. And that new nature is what the Spirit of God produces good fruit out of. The old tree, the old nature, doesn't bring forth anything but evil fruit, rotten fruit, corrupt fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. That new nature can't bring forth any evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. You know a tree by its fruit. I remember my pastor years ago, he said, he described it kind of like somebody who says that they're a professional football player. Yeah, I play for the Bengals. Well, we're sorry for that. They ain't been any good for years. Yeah, I play for the Bengals. Well, do you go to practice? Nah, I really never have gotten into practice much. Do you ever study the playbook? You read that real good so you know all the plays? Nah, never have fooled much with the playbook. Well, then certainly you eat right. You eat at the training table. Get all the food that you're supposed to get, the right kind of combination. Nah, I like McDonald's. A lot of junk food. Well, about three quarters of the way into this guy that says he plays professional football, you're going to say, well, you ain't no football player. You don't go to practice. You don't know the playbook. You don't eat right. You don't live right. And so it is with a child of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, that change is going to show forth in your life. It's going to show forth from the inside out that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. You're going to have a new love for God. A love for His Word, for His people, for His house, for prayer. Everything changes when God's grace intervenes. Paul knew that the Thessalonians were elect of God because of the Spirit's work in their hearts and their lives. Look over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Or chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Paul saw in these elect believers at Thessalonica a change in their lives and a desire to follow the Lord. Now I want to give you tonight some marks of regeneration that true believers will definitely see and experience in their own lives. First of all, and I have a real concern about anybody who says they're saved and never get convicted over their sin. If you're saved, believe me, you're going to have conviction of sin. There will be an awareness of personal sinfulness on the part of a believer. And if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar. As a believer, if you say, I don't sin anymore, you're lying. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to God, and you're trying to make God a liar. You say, well, where's that found in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you say that you have no sin, you are practicing self-deception and self-righteousness, and you're probably not saved. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now that's pretty serious, because you're contradicting the truth of God's word. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there is an awareness of sin. Look at Paul the Apostle's attitude. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. This is his experience as a believer. He says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. By the way, if you're born again, you're going to love God's law. You're going to love His Word. You're going to love what the Lord loves. Verse 23, he acknowledges something though. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He recognized that he still had a sin nature, and it plagued him and bothered him and troubled him. So much so, he wanted to be delivered of it. He was aware of his own personal sinfulness. And he knows where the victory is. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So there will be an awareness of personal sinfulness. Number two, when you're truly born of God, there'll be a new desire to obey God. I did not have this desire before I was saved. In fact, I can't remember ever thinking about obeying God before I was ever saved. But I tell you what, the day that I was saved, immediately, there was placed within me, even though I didn't know anything about the Word of God, now I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. Instead of just doing what I wanted to do, I wanted to obey God. And the Bible teaches this. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Here's how you know that you know him. If you keep his commandments, you cherish them, you love them, you practice them. Look at chapter 3 and verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Look at chapter 5, verse 2. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. I always worry about somebody that says, oh, it doesn't matter whether you obey God or not. Not according to the Word of God. It's one of the ways you prove whether you really belong to Him and whether or not you love Him. Jesus said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. He said, ye are My friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, I know God is the source of every bit of grace given to obey. I know I obey because of His power. But there, it's on me as well to respond to His Word and do what He says. This is the way, walk ye in it. See, I've been bought with a price. With the very blood of the Son of God, the blood of the everlasting covenant, I belong lock, stock, and barrel, body, soul, and spirit, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not my own. I belong to Him. And so I should have a new desire to obey God. And if it's not there, you're not saved. And then there'll be a love for God's people. If you don't love those who God loves, you can't have much assurance. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You can't claim to be saved and hate your brother or your sister in Christ. You can't say that you're saved and hate somebody that belongs to the Lord. And then I believe you will have a faith that is not only genuine, but that lasts, that perseveres. I've been saved for nearly 40 years. And I believe God's given me grace and faith to be an overcomer, to be consistent. Faithfully going about. Now, I'm not all that I ought to be and never have been until I won't be, till I get to glory. I'll tell you what, I know I've been saved. And I've walked by faith for 40 years of this uneven journey of life, trusting God, trusting Christ, trusting His Word. The Bible says this. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith that lasts. I love it when I see people who have been saved for years being faithful in God's house, enjoying fellowship with God's people, rejoicing around the truth of His Word, not backing away from the things of God or getting wayward, but desiring to draw closer and walk more firmly and faithfully in the things of God. That's what I want. That's what I want for you. So that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be able to stand there and hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I believe if you're born of God, you'll have an open ear to God's Word. 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you're saved, you love God's Word. You not only love God's Word, but you want to obey it. You want to believe it. You want to embrace it and be led by its truth. And if you're saved, and you want have real assurance, then you're going to love God. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. I love the Lord tonight. I'm so thankful for what He's done in my life, for the power of the gospel, the difference that Jesus Christ has made. And I love Him. And I want to devote my entire life, every fiber of my being, to His honor and His glory. And if you're saved, you won't be, you'll have a whole different attitude towards the world. And the world will have a whole different attitude towards you. And you don't have to do anything other than live for the Lord to make that happen. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I knew immediately after I was saved, I couldn't live the way I used to. And for some strange reason, I thought at that time, I couldn't figure out why. I didn't want to go back to the world. I didn't want to go back to the slop that I had lived in for so many years. I couldn't go back. It disgusted me the way that I was. Now I wanted to live for the Lord. Everything changed. A new attitude. A new purpose. The marks of regeneration don't save us, but they reveal that we are saved. The spiritual side of salvation is called a new birth because it produces in us a likeness to our Heavenly Father and to our elder brother, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to ask yourself, are these characteristics manifest in my life? And we'll stop there tonight, and next week we'll finish up with the witness of the Spirit.